that you are living in the freedom you have in Christ, my son. Do not expect to fail or imagine that you will always, that you will act in ways that will later cause you to feel ashamed. Look to the future with positive expectations. That's good for the coming year, isn't it?
Yes.
Because your hope is always in me. Okay, let me just see if there are any more here. Yeah, never be overcome. Remind people never to be overcome by their circumstances. That's what
good.
I said just now.
I like that.
Because I'm able to change the circumstances of those who trust me.
Amen.
It says he's able to change the circumstances. He doesn't always change the circumstances, but he can change your attitude in those circumstances.
Yeah.
Here's a lovely one. I love this one, because if you're a worrier like me...
No, you're not.
Sorry, I should say, if you worry like I do, okay, let's not label ourselves
exactly.
as worriers, but let's remember. What?
No, just being silly.
Remember not to be anxious about anything. Remember not to worry about anything, okay? Either in your own life or in the lives of others for whom you are concerned. That could be your children, it could be your family. For anxiety never has any beneficial effects. Sometimes we sort of worry as though it does, you know,
yeah.
as though we've got to compensate for something and pay for it, you know.
Right.
For anxiety never has any beneficial effects. It accomplishes nothing and only makes situations appear worse than they really are. You know, I'm really, I mean, there's so much talk these days about mental health issues. And a lot of those mental health issues are caused by anxiety, of course. My beloved child, rejoice in me. My spirit reminds you again and again to do this. You find that? I do. Sometimes I just get these verses. In everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That one's in Thessalonians. But rejoice in me, my spirit reminds you again and again. It's nice that the spirit reminds,
yeah.
God's spirit reminds us.
Yeah.
I don't have to remind myself almost, God's spirit reminds me. Again and again to do this for your own good. Rejoice in me for your own good. You know that rejoicing in God is for your own good.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Worrying will do nothing.
Mm.
It makes it worse. Joy, what is joy? It is the language of overcoming victory. Okay. Depending on his life and power in all that you do, no longer trusting in your own soul power, I like that, to accomplish my will for you. Okay? Don't trust in your own soul power to accomplish my will for you. In other words, however hard I think, and however think I am mentally, whatever I'm doing, you know, it's not that power. It's the power of God by trusting in him. You have received, and just again, we're talking about reasons for thanking the Lord. You have received the greatest privilege of all, to know me personally as your Lord. You have received the greatest privilege of all. So the greatest privilege is not getting the OBE or the MBE or the CBE or anything. The greatest privilege of all is to know him personally as your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
To know. Not just to believe, it says there, but to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Believe, knowledge, knowing him, comes after trusting him. You have received true righteousness as a gift from me. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a gift. It's not something you can get or obtain. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So receive it. Okay, so I have to receive it every day. It's the ongoing thing.
Mm.
A free gift of my mercy and grace. And grace. That's good. Okay, any more? Okay, all right. Okay, I want you to be filled with my joy now. My beloved, always rejoice in me and in my love for you. I repeat, rejoice. Nothing like being emphatic. Always rejoice in me. Always. Do you remember that song? Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay. Again, remember that I'm always near you, always at hand, so that you never need to be anxious about anything. Yeah, okay. I'm nearly there on this one. You are able to draw on all the glorious riches I have given you because of your unity with my Son, Jesus Christ. You're able to draw on all the glorious riches. Glorious riches. Again, it's strong language. Mm. Abundance. That's what we have available to us in Christ.
Mm.
And then finally, so live daily in the grace that I pour into your life. Oh, God pours his grace daily into my life. He only does that through Jesus, it says here. So live daily in the grace that I pour into your life through Jesus. It shall be so. Amen. I just thought I'd read those few verses Wonderful. Out to you, because this has really blessed me, actually, because it personalises it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put some on our bedroom cupboard, our bedroom wardrobe, and in the bathroom. So anybody goes to our bathroom will see a few of them, whether they want to or not. Hallelujah. Okay, so, it's called on the multiple benefits of praise, you see. So I've just given you reasons. I mean, there's just a few reasons why we need to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and rejoice. Okay? All right. And so I think this is something that we can bear in mind for 2024, to rejoice in the Lord and to praise the Lord in all circumstances. I know that's not easy sometimes. Okay. So, I'll just refer, I think, to the first verse here. We're talking about how do we know that God is doing something new? How do we hear God's voice? Okay, that's what we're starting with. We need to hear God's voice so that we know where we're going. And so I think it's just pressing that one, isn't it? Yeah. And the first, 1 Samuel 3. Okay, 1 Samuel 3. It says, if you know the story of Samuel, there hadn't been much going on at that time previous in the Old Testament. There wasn't much, there weren't any prophets or anything like that. So Samuel came along as the little boy, a miraculous, gift to his mother, actually. So she dedicated him to the Lord. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Now, Eli was a priest, okay? Not a very good priest, from what I've read. But the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and he was quite young, okay? And the other version, the NLT, says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. I like that second one because I'm a teaching assistant and I like the word assistant, you see. So I feel as I'm serving the Lord by assisting the teachers. That came to me. But whatever we're doing in our assisting, we can serve the Lord. But the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. So Samuel was available. That's the point. He was available to God. And he was set apart for him. In fact, his mother, in the sense, set him apart for him. And it's always people who are available and set apart for him and set apart from God when God does something new, when God does something new, okay? So as I said, we need to hear his voice so that we know where we're going. And Samuel was a prepared person even at that young age. We know the story about when God spoke to Samuel when he was in bed and said, Samuel, Samuel. And he thought it was Eli. But in fact, after the third time, Eli said, or after the second time, was it? I don't know which one. Third time, I think. Eli said, no. He realised it was the Lord speaking to him. And so Samuel said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, what do you want to say? You know. So that's how open we need to be. So the Bible shows us how to hear God well. So Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli, or by ministering to the Lord. And ministering to the Lord is our first call as Christians. It's our first call, ministering to the Lord. How do we minister to the Lord? Well, it's by what I've been saying, rejoicing. Yeah? It's not by working hard to please him. It's by showing our faith by rejoicing and thanking him. Because thanking him and true rejoicing and thanking God is an expression of our faith. It shows that we are believing. Okay? So Samuel ministered to the Lord, and that's our first call as Christians. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? The first thing he said was, this is how you pray, our Father who art in heaven, acknowledging him there, hallowed be thy name. Praised be your name. Your name is to be praised. In other words, we need to praise him. Okay. This is to be our priority and our focus. To exalt him and to praise him, and this kind of worship attitude and thanking God leads us to an atmosphere into which God can speak. Mm. Yeah? We want an atmosphere in which God can speak.
Yes.
I want to see atmospheres. We can't see an atmosphere, but you know, I want to know that there are atmospheres in our church when we gather together, whether it's here, whether it's down up at Basin Hill, where God can speak and he's not blocked off. I think so many churches, you know, so many situations, God wants to speak, but he can't because people aren't prepared. They're not ready. They're not ministering to the Lord enough.
Okay.
They're not spending enough time with him to get the word coming. So we want an atmosphere in which God can speak. Acts 13. Love this verse. Okay, I think it's... Now, I'm not sure if I've put this up. Let's just see. Oh, no. No, okay, I haven't yet. That's all right. Don't worry. Acts 13, I'm just going to read this to you, because it was when Saul and Barnabas, he was called Saul then, before he was called Paul at this stage. Acts 13. And I think we've read it before and you've probably heard this before. I'll just read the first few verses to you. This is where Barnabas and Saul are commissioned. Saul, who later became Paul. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria, so in the church, okay, were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, that's interesting, isn't it? Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, it's interesting, isn't it? And Saul. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord, you often see things happening as people were worshipping the Lord. In other words, creating an atmosphere for God to act. So one day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit spoke. They were worshipping the Lord, no doubt, thanking the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, as well as praying. And they were fasting as well. Now, fasting, fasting is something that we do not to please God. It's something we do so that we are preparing ourselves for God to speak, giving him a little bit more time. So we don't want to get legalistic about that, because that'll get you nowhere. You know, you don't please God by fasting, primarily. You please God because you are exalting him and worshipping and hallowing his name, if I could say that. Yeah. So we may talk a little bit about that, or you may mention something about that later on. So one day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So Barnabas and Saul had a special work to which God had called them. So after more fasting and prayer, so they didn't just stop there, they carried on fasting and praying, even though the Holy Spirit had already spoken. They continued, and they thought, oh, maybe there's some more. Let's have some more, you know. After more fasting and prayer, men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. The men laid their hands on them and sent them on the way. So they dedicated Barnabas and Saul for the special work. Now, every one of us have got a calling or a special work. not just the top knobs, not just the top spiritual people that we see around or we think who are top spiritual people. Every one of us has a calling.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we need to find what that calling is if we haven't found it yet. So ministering to the Lord releases guidance, direction and calling. So the not every believer is aware of their calling. But it goes beyond your work, even though it includes your work. So I suppose my calling is a kind of teaching or exalting, because the first time I got filled with the Spirit, I know, especially then, I just wanted to get into the Word of God. I wanted to speak to people. I was shy before that, but then I had this calling. I knew that I had it. It's been there all the time, you know. You may think for yourself, your calling isn't important or it's not much, but everybody's got a calling.
Yeah.
So we need to get into a position where we know what our calling is.
Mm.
And what God can remind us. Maybe you've forgotten, or maybe you don't really know. So obviously this is what happened. Barnabas and Saul, and we know what went on. Saul became Paul, and that was really the start of his ministry, okay? Because the prophets and the apostles around them and meeting in a church, that shows the importance of the body, doesn't it? Other people around you praying for you and hearing God together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hearing God together, and to actually dedicate Saul and Barnabas. Yeah. One day God might say that to us. We've got to dedicate somebody to go out and preach the gospel, or to do what, or just to help help the poor or something. Who knows? You know, it could be anything. And I'm looking forward to God, you know, reminding people or telling them for the first time what their calling is.
Yes.
Because it's like an identity in Christ, in Jesus. That's what our calling is.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you say to yourself, well, I'm not sure what my calling is, I don't know, I haven't got one. Well, you have. And if you want to find out what it is, then you can let us pray for you afterwards. Okay? I mean that. Okay? You can let us pray for you afterwards. So that was Barnabas and Saul. A royal priesthood. Okay. 1 Peter. We read about us being a royal priesthood. We are all priests unto God. What did the priest do? The priest went to God. He was the only one that was allowed in the Old Testament. He was the only one that was allowed into the inner sanctuary, or the high priest was, you know. But now we're all, as it were, allowed into that inner sanctuary because the curtain's come down, hasn't it? It's been torn in two, and we can go approach Christ confidently. We can approach God confidently because of what Jesus has done and who he is to us. So a royal priesthood. So our role now, Hebrews 13:15, I think I've got that one up there. Yeah, there it is. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Okay. Interesting that praise will sometimes be a sacrifice. Okay. How many people know that? Yes. You know, you don't feel like it. The last thing you want to do is pray or praise, especially if you're feeling angry or unforgiving or whatever. Okay. But we have to forgive, don't we? So it will be a sacrifice. I don't feel like it this morning. Oh, I can't do it. Never say you can't, because you can. And we can compare it to a car, maybe. Kevin, you like cars, that's why I'm looking at you. But you can compare it to a car that won't start in the morning, yeah? You know, because it's cold or something. And we know that, you know, these days it's a bit easier. But, you know, because cars are better. But at first it's going, you know, and you have to clear all the ice off and everything. And sometimes when you press on the accelerator, you know, it doesn't go very fast and the choker's got to come in. But once it gets going, you know, after the first 5 minutes, you're away, just like any other car that's on the road at that time. Okay, hopefully. And our spiritual lives are like that, you know. Maybe we just got to get going sometimes. And there are a few sacrifices, like wiping the windscreen with a I'm just doing the car analogy, but wiping the windscreen with a scraper, and waiting for the car to warm up. That could take 5 or 10 minutes, can't it? And you get impatient, you know, we just want to go. And so that you can see through the whole screen, windscreen.
Yeah.
So that you can see through the back mirror. So our lives are a bit like that, you know. And so it's going to be a sacrifice of praise, and we have to acknowledge that. Because what I'm saying, it's not easy, is it, to praise God? The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Now that's interesting, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, okay? So what are the fruit of lips? It's the praise. Sometimes it'll be the sacrifice of praise. Mm-hmm. Our praise is the fruit of our lips that openly, that means we don't do it to ourselves quietly, we do it openly, okay? That is the importance of openly praising God. Some of the most lively churches I've been to, it's where people are worshipping, they're praising God openly. They're almost shouting. You know, my flesh doesn't like that sometimes. But they are shouting because they're excited, just like a football crowd.
Mm.
Why can't we be like that with God? You know. So the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And we want to openly profess his name. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. Because like Paul, it's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
And it's the way people are saved.
Yes.
They may not know that yet, and they may be quite hostile to it, but we can pray for those people as well. So that's Hebrews 13:15, a continued offering of sacrifice of praise. So vocalizing praise, it's not internal, all right? So sometimes when we come, sometimes people internalize, and I know I do this sometimes. You know, we're just singing maybe, but we're going, oh yeah, and we're thinking about other things. Whereas if you vocalise praise, even if you don't feel like it, even if you think your mind's somewhere else, it will get you in, it will get you the car started and moving.
That's good.
Mm.
Yeah. So vocalising is so important, so that people can hear the gospel, hear about Jesus, hear our praises, let our praises be heard. Mm. Jesus was walking through Jerusalem, or coming into Jerusalem on a colt, I think it was it, and then, you know, the religious people were complaining that the kids were praising him, and then he said, even if everybody shut up, the stones would.
Yeah.
You know, there's this kind of feeling that, oh, there's got to be praise. It has to be, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be like that in heaven. Yeah. So, yeah, Psalm 50:23. Says, he who praises me glorifies me. Yeah? Psalm 53, I think it, Psalm 53. In other words, if we don't praise him, then we don't glorify him. Yeah?
Mm.
Psalm 53. We all want to glorify God, don't we?
Yes.
I think it's funny to read the NLT version here. So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, where is it? Yes. Psalm 50, yeah. Psalm 50:23, I beg your pardon, here it is. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honours me. So when it's a sacrifice for you and you're praising, it's still honouring to God.
Yeah.
You may not think so, but it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how you feel.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, people might say, oh, you're being insincere, you know, or you're going against how you feel, and that's not being real. But I'm telling you, this is telling God is telling us,
yeah,
giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honours me, honours God.
Good.
If you keep to my path, in other words, giving thanks as a sacrifice, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. It's what we were saying earlier, wasn't it? God will speak to us.
Yeah.
God will put a word in there.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't you want to hear some real words from God this year?
Yes.
You know, when we meet together.
Yes.
Mm. I don't want this sort of, oh, every week, you know, unloading, loading. Well, that's part of it, I know. Yeah, I know. You do a lot of it, yeah, sorry. Well, we do a lot. you know, we meet and we sing, and we get, you know, we have the prayer first, then we sing the worship, and then we have the word, then we have coffee afterwards. That's fine, but I want to see some Holy Spirit moving this
Amen.
Year. And it may be chaotic, you know, things change when the Holy Spirit really gets in there.
Yeah,
we may have to disrupt the order. That's fine if whether there are four of us, five of us, or 20 or 30 on us.
Yes.
But we'll have to offer God a sacrifice of praise. It may be a sacrifice at first, but then once we get the fire going, it'll be great. So there you are. Many things are put right in our lives when we begin to follow the scriptures on praising, I think, on this issue, and do them. Yeah, we praise God for who he is. So we want to hear the voice and find what we are called to for 2024. We do. I think as a church we want to do that, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to know what we're called to. I certainly do.
Yeah.
We certainly do. Because we're leading, so we have to know, don't we?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean to say God doesn't speak to others, you know, as well. Okay. Now, sometimes, how do we hear the voice of God? Sometimes we hear the voice saying, rather than, well, sometimes we often say, we've got to push doors, pushing doors, yeah? I wonder if that's the way to go. I wonder if that's the thing to do. Especially maybe if we're looking, you know, to get a new job, or if there are different options, which door shall I go through? And I think that God, you know, that's one way, I know, but I think there are easier ways with God, that God can make it clear to us, yeah?
Mm.
God has made it clear to me in the past. So it's not using reason. You see, it's not using reason. I heard about a worship leader that was really gifted in worship and in playing about five different instruments. Yeah, and he was really good, but he wasn't really good at hearing God. And I heard the guy, you know, one of his other leaders say it's because he's dense spiritually. He reasons everything. And God doesn't want us to reason everything, because the peace of God is beyond understanding. It's beyond reasoning.
Yeah.
We want peace when we're making a move, when we're making a decision. I want peace. And if you haven't got that peace, that is often an indicator that you're not doing the right thing, or that it won't be the right thing. I can think of situations in the past. I remember a job I took once. Didn't have peace about it on the second interview. And I still went for the job. Didn't enjoy it, and I know that I should have stayed at the first job longer. Okay, but that's my experience. So we don't want to rely on just pushing doors to see which one opens. And it's not the doors that can tell me which way I should go. It's about the voice, because Jesus said, my voice will guide you and lead you through this year. My sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
In John. My sheep hear, not can hear, but they hear my voice.
Yes.
If you know Jesus, if you've got faith in him, then you hear his voice.
Amen.
So don't muffle it. Don't reason when you hear it. Sometimes, especially if it's something we're not particularly keen on doing, don't muffle it. You know, just don't start reasoning it. So my sheep hear my voice and follow me. We need to maybe increase and praise before we pray. So when we pray to God, how much, I'm just asking you this, and don't answer this question, you know, think of it in your mind, all right? How much do you pray, how much do you praise God and rejoice in God? I mean, the reason I looked at those first verses in Philippians is a reason to rejoice in God, you know, and I start by doing that most days. You know, so I praise God and rejoice God for where I stand in Christ today and every day. Yeah. How many of us do that before we start praying? Praying for Aunt Mary's ingrowing toenail, as Gary always used to say, or whatever, you know, or people. I know that's important, but as I said, you know, even as an individual, praying individually and praising individually, it sets the tone, it sets the atmosphere for God to speak to us in our quiet times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's spend time. You know, you may not find it easy to pray and spend time before God, but even if it's 5-10 minutes, and for us who could spend a bit longer, maybe half an hour, praising God, rejoicing in God. And if it helps you, we can, you know, we can supply songs, praise songs. You know, the songs of the world, I like pop songs. Well, I like 60s, you know. I listen to Sound of the 60s on Saturday mornings, much to the chagrin of my family. But
sad individual.
Yeah, but, you know, if you sing songs, I mean, some of them okay, but some of them are so that they express the need and the disappointment and the concern about relationships, often about love, isn't it? Now, why don't we sing positive songs? And I'm the person who needs to talk to myself about this, as Ursula will tell you, to listen to praise songs in the car, listen to praise songs when at home. I actually like hymns, if they're sung well, by choirs. I like that too. So let's build ourselves up first. Sometimes just listening first can get you going, can get the car going, yeah, and moving. Okay, so Psalm 103. This is the benefit psalm, and this is the one I started with today. I think it's up here. Oh, there it is. Look, I've got it up there after all. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honours me. Yeah, we want to truly honour God, don't we? So let's give a sacrifice of praise. Right, so this is Psalm 103. I think it covers a couple of pages here, so a couple of slides. I'll just read this to you. Let all that I am praise the Lord. What is all that I am? It's everything that I am, isn't it? That means my energy, that means my soul, my body and my spirit. Even my body, to praise the Lord, yeah? No reason why that shouldn't be, yeah, dancing around, jigging around. I mean, if you're joyful, you do that, don't you?
Yes,
you again, do. Look at the football crowds.
Yeah.
How often do we see that in church? And if we do see it, how often do we get a bit cynical, maybe? But it's, you know, David's wife got cynical towards him. And she said, you know, when David came in with the ark, some of you know the story, and he was only wearing an ephod, which exposed him a bit, actually. And so his wife said, oh, you look such an idiot today, you know, in front of all those people. But David was right. It was his wife who couldn't bear any more children after that, interestingly. So it's important, you know, to express ourselves in worship. So let all I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. Yeah, what does that mean, my whole... Being wholehearted, not thinking about the roast beef. I always relate that to Sunday mornings, but... Or not thinking about match of the day that I might be watching this afternoon, or Formula One, maybe. or whatever, you know. Or the coming week. Oh, what's it going to be like at work tomorrow? I've got this tomorrow. Oh, no. And you can, these thoughts can go through your mind. They can become anxious thoughts as well. So what we need to do is to be wholehearted. Give that sacrifice of praise first. I will praise his holy name. I will. I will.
Yes.
I will.
Yes.
It takes the will sometimes. You know, the psalmist realised how he needed to do that. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. And again, I read those Philippians verses out to you. Because they hopefully reminded you of the good things that he does for you and me and the good things that we are in Christ. And you can read these verses, you know, read through an epistle or something or like Philippians or something like that. And read some verses that tell you who you are in Christ that can cause you to rejoice. He forgives all my sins. Not just some of them, but all of them. Well, what about that one you did last week? Does he forgive you about that? Because that was pretty bad. No, he forgives all your sins. And he heals, listen to this one, all my diseases, all my illnesses and all my sicknesses. Oh, but there are a lot of people who are sick and we've prayed for them and they haven't been healed yet. Well, I can't answer that. But all I can say is that's what it says.
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God says. So I'm going to go for that.
Amen.
I will praise the Lord that he can heal all my sins and diseases as well. And my sicknesses.
Yeah.
Never mind about disappointments in the past. Today is today. Let's go for it.
Mm.
And I'm going to see some people healed this year. We are going to see some people healed in the church this year.
Yes.
And people will hear about that and they'll sit up and they'll say, maybe there is something in Jesus. Maybe there is something in this.
Yeah.
I want to see the miraculous.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm not seeking a sign. I know an evil generation seeks a sign. But we want to see, I know that we will, when God can not only speak when we create the atmosphere of praise, but he can also do things like healing people in an atmosphere of praise. How many times have you heard about people being healed in a congregation simply because they're raising their hands and they're praising the Lord?
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't need somebody, always need somebody to come over to you and put their hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because they've got their eyes off themselves. So Psalm 103, that's right, we'll go to the next bit. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. So he redeems me, in other words, that's one of those sort of religious words, isn't it? Redeems, like trespasses or whatever. But he buys me back, if you like. He's paid the price to buy me back from death. Thank you, Lord, that you've bought me back from death. It's great that I haven't got to fear death.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, if we're getting older, we think, oh, I'm getting older. I wonder how many years I've got left, you know. I wonder where all the years have gone. You know, sometimes we say that. But we don't have to worry about death.
Mm.
I mean, that is fantastic. Yeah. We have got victory over death.
Yes.
And people need to know this.
Yes. Yes.
That what is in Jesus is victory over death. He is the one who conquered it on the cross. And what do you get after death? Resurrection.
Yeah.
We are resurrected.
Mm.
We live in resurrection now, actually, spiritually. So redeems me from death, excuse me. he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. I like that word tender.
Yeah.
Because tender, you know, tender is like a mother, actually. Motherly love. I know it's fatherly love as well. But he deals with you tenderly. He's gentle, actually. Mm. He's not God with a big stick, okay? Without Jesus, maybe, without Jesus... We saw people being dealt with harshly in Old Testament, maybe. Yeah? And you saw the wrath of God. But Jesus saves us from the wrath of God. Because of Jesus, he deals with us tenderly.
Yeah.
And his mercies are tender.
Mm.
Merciful. Mercy is, and I've said this before, is God not giving us what we deserve. Mm. My youth, love this one. My youth, I was a youth once. Mm. You are a youth now. We're all youth, really, aren't we? My youth is renewed like the eagles. We've been watching Winter Watch. Has anybody seen that? Winter Watch? This week it was on, you know. And they had an eagle there, and it looks so fantastic, so big, you know, so much bigger than the other birds, and just glides along. It's fantastic. So it's important that our youth is renewed. Well, I'll come back to that after, when I finish.
Renewed.
Sorry, did I say something?
It's just a spoonerism.
Oh, sorry, yeah, probably. Yeah, so it's great that also, you know, Psalm 23 says, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Do you like a good meal? And it's like God gives you, he provides for you what, you know, just especially for you. And you can eat all that in the presence of your enemies.
Yeah.
And you can believe in Jesus. You can, he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, kind of thing. Communion, I suppose. But you can do that when enemies are present and they can't harm you.
Mm.
Why are we afraid of enemies? You know, I better press on, hadn't I? So going back to praise, you know, if you go to work, if you travel to, I don't know if anybody is to what I do now, but... Wherever we're travelling, wherever we're going, I go on the bike. But use our work journeys to praise. Yeah, I do that, actually. I do that sometimes. The coldness that we get, the struggles with our flesh, our ungodly appetites, the temptations we face, these can all disappear when we minister to the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's replace all those things with prayer and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving. So when you get filled with the Spirit, your desires are for Jesus. Praise him in the morning. I think one of the Psalms is like in the afternoon, in the evening, at night, when things are going well, when they aren't going well, when they're not, when I'm up and when I'm down. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the stones will praise him. And when we praise him, overcoming the flesh becomes easier. And you don't want what the rest of the world wants, because you know that Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is so rich and so abundant in good things that what's in the world doesn't, you know, it doesn't compete. It can't compete, okay? You know, we can look at some of these verses sometimes, don't love the things of the world or the world or the things in the world. We think, oh, but I do like this and I do like that. All we need to do is just to concentrate on Jesus and have faith in him. Don't worry about the results, but to praise him and worship him, we'll find the things of earth will grow strangely dim on the light of his glory and grace, as the praise song used to go. So we are a church of the spirit, not the flesh. Yes, and if you feel, I talked about a spiritually dense person before, but when you start praising, you find that a spiritually dense person can become spiritually sensitive.
Amen.
So let's be sensitive and not dense.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6, maybe I read this out earlier, I don't know, but Philippians 4:6. Oh, hang on. No, hang on, not that one.
That one?
Yeah, I did mention it, didn't I? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done.
Yeah.
So the thanking comes at the end there. It doesn't matter what order you do it in, but it says don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
I told somebody once that, you know, worrying, you realise worrying is a sin. He said, is it? Almost as though it was, I mean, he was a new Christian. Almost as though we should worry, you know.
Right.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, replace it.
Yeah.
Do something instead. Pray about everything. So the next time you get a worry, well, pray about everything. Pray against it. Pray, thank the Lord. Tell God what you need in that situation.
Yes.
And thank him for all he's done. I do that for my lessons. Well, you know, I've got children that are, you know, little brats basically, and you know, they're nice, but you know, it's difficult to get things done because they're so restless and ADHD and all that kind of stuff. So I try not to worry about that, and I pray about it. I say, Lord, I give it to you. When I do pray for things like that, that's a very practical thing. I find that things tend to go better. They tend to go better. That's what I need, Lord. Yeah. So when I thank you for what you've done, and I can do that before I go into the lesson. So that's Philippians 4:6. I'm nearing the end now. That's all right. Answered prayer. Yeah. Okay. Praying with thanksgiving. That's right. Supplication. Let your prayer be with thanksgiving. So when you pray, make sure you've got thanksgiving with it. Not complaining and moaning. How many times do you hear Christians complaining and moaning? Let's be positive, you know. We're not in a position. I know it's something, you know, it kind of, when we hear others do it, we say, oh yeah, it kind of bonds you a bit together, doesn't it? In the wrong way, in negative thinking. And it makes you like them, and so you're sort of identifying yourself with them, and you feel like you're friends. But the point is, you can put something positive in there. We can, you know. To have a positive and thankful heart. Okay. Yeah, now there was one here. Okay, I think it was the next one. Yeah. So, yeah, Acts 16. Love this. Yeah. It's on the next page. Acts 16:25. Okay. Now, as I said, Saul became Paul, and he was on his... This was his calling. And the thing is... sorry, I'll have a drink of water. The thing is, you know, his calling, where did it take him? It took him into prisons. It took him into beatings. You know, so... some of us might have said to us, if it was us, we might have said, oh, you know, this ain't very good, is it? This can't be God's will. But that's, you know, anybody who desires... to follow the Lord will be persecuted. Anybody who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. That's what it says in the book of Timothy. So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They'd been put in prison, you see, for preaching the gospel. And the other prisoners were listening. Now this is the thing. That's the fruit of the lips that were acknowledging the name of the Lord. Yeah? They were praising God openly. They weren't sort of whispering to each other. I can imagine them. I mean, they were probably bleeding. They'd been beaten. And, you know, prisons weren't very nice places then. And in pain. And it was midnight. And it was probably pitch black. And there they were singing hymns to God. And we can sing hymns to God, whatever our situation, however dire it is. Suddenly, and this is the effect, you see, God did something as a result of themselves, of ministering to God. Just like God spoke when Samuel ministered, okay, to the Lord. God spoke, God did something, not only spoke, but he did something when Paul and Silas were ministering to God by their praying and singing hymns to God and rejoicing. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. Wow, can you imagine that? And the prison was shaken to its foundations. So your praising and worshipping and praying and your rejoicing can shake things to their foundations. It can shake prisons to their foundations. It can shake situations and turn them upside down. I'm looking forward to some of that too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily prisons being shaken, not necessarily earthquakes being caused by my praising, but people's lives being turned upside down positively. By, as a result of us praising. All the doors immediately flew open. So they didn't have to knock on any doors. It's interesting what I was saying earlier about pushing doors. They didn't have to knock on any doors because God opened them all. Wait, God works, it happens immediately. You see, it flew open. Sorry. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. That's interesting because I wonder how many of those prisoners were criminals. But it says that their chains fell off. Isn't that fantastic? So when we praise and when we worship God like they were, and when we let our praises be heard, you know, when we do it, you know, together as a church, as a body, or just when we're on our own, then the chains can fall off. Yeah. My chains fell off and my heart was free. And went and forth and followed it.
Yeah.
Maybe you got that from here, Wesley, you know. But all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer, I put this bit in, because the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. And the jailer became a Christian later, didn't he? Because he saw there's a door open in heaven. Not only were the prison doors physically open, but he saw that there was a door open in heaven for him. And his family got baptised. Fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of Paul and Silas praying, singing hymns to God and praising in their dire situation. So that's how, and they were set free and that they got washed and had a shower, whatever they did in those days. They got bathed, Paul and Silas, and were back on the road again, you know. So things worked out all right for them in the end, you know, after that. So thanking God in all circumstances. Yeah. That's right. So we have to train the flesh to do the will of God. Or maybe the flesh is, you know, the flesh is there, isn't it? When you don't feel like it, get that car started. I will train my hands, I will worship. And see the release of answered prayer. Yeah. And to see dead situations come alive. Just need to obey the Lord. So I think that's all I'm going to say. But what we're going to do now, we're going to vocalise a bit, and I'm just going to go back, and we're going to repeat this. We're going to repeat this psalm, okay? I think it's good to speak out and to read it out loud, okay? So, let's do it all together. Let's stand up, shall we? You can all stand up, can't you?
Yes, Justin.
Yeah. Sorry, yes, yeah.
That's okay.
Right, I'm going to point to each one. And think about what we're saying, okay? And think about this for 2024 and this coming week. Think about it for this year, okay? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all 100% my diseases. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Hang on. Sorry. I should have gone back further there, I think. Hang on, we're going wrong, aren't we? Yeah, sorry, yeah.
That's okay.
Can we start again? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Yeah. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. There you go. Amen. Lord, I just want to pray now that we will take these things on board. The fact of rejoicing and praising you and thanking you.
Yeah.
Not just out of the air, but Lord, to see what your word says about rejoicing and praising you.
Yeah.
Lord, it is the it is the priority.
Yeah.
It's the priority.
Yeah.
So from that we can get into situations where you speak.
Yeah.
Lord, but it's by loving you, knowing about your tender mercies, knowing who you are and our relationship, that you will speak into our lives and you will do things in our lives as well.
Yeah.
And I speak that over Storehouse in 2024.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if anybody wants prayer about the calling, yeah, let's just pray for each other anyway, shall we? I think that would be good. We could do it in pairs or threes or whatever. Because I think that's important.